Moses grew up in his adopted mother's palace, but he often used to visit people of his own race. One day he killed an Egyptian that he found ill-treating a Hebrew slave. On another occasion, he came across two Hebrews quarreling. He said to the one who was in the wrong,
"Why are you hitting your friend?
Who set you up as judge over us? Are you going to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?"
Moses was frightened by these words, for they showed that what he had done was common knowledge. And fearing Pharaoh's anger, he fled into the country of Midian. While he was sitting near a well, the seven daughters of the priest of Midian came to draw water for their flocks, but the shepherds drove them away. At this, Moses intervened and helped the girls and made sure that their flocks had water. When they got back home, their father, the priest, asked them,
"How is it that you are back so soon today?"
"An Egyptian saved us from the shepherds. Then he drew water for us and gave it to our flock."
"Who is this Egyptian? Why didn't you ask him to come with you? Tell him to come and take some food with us."
Moses stayed with the priest of Midian, and he married his daughter Zipporah, who gave him a son named Gershon. A long time afterwards, the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel begged God to free them from the yoke of slavery. God heard them and chose Moses as the man to deliver them from the Egyptians. One day, when Moses was pasturing his flock on Mount Horeb, he saw a bush which was burning without being consumed by the flames. As he came closer, he heard the voice of God.
"Moses, Moses."
"Here I am."
"I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham. I have seen the distress of my people, oppressed as they are by the Egyptians, and I have come down to deliver them. Go to the house of Pharaoh, take the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, and lead them into Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey."
"I will go to my brothers. But if they ask me who has sent me, what shall I say?"
"I am that I am. Say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you."
Accompanied by his brother Aaron, Moses went to Pharaoh and said to him,
"In the name of the God of Israel, let our people go out of the land of Egypt."
"I do not know your God, and I will not let Israel go."
And so, upon the orders of the Almighty, Moses struck Egypt with 10 plagues. With his rod he touched the waters of the Nile, and straightway they were turned into blood. The fishes all died, and the Egyptians began to go thirsty, for they dared not drink the poisoned water. That was the first plague. Then frogs covered the whole of the land of Egypt. They crawled and slithered everywhere, as far as Pharaoh's bed itself. That was the second plague. Then the dust of the earth transformed itself into fierce winged insects whose stings pierced deep into the skin of men and beasts. That was the third plague. Then there came swarms of flies which ravaged the countryside. That was the fourth plague. Then a foul pestilence overcame all the men of Egypt and their camels. That was the fifth plague. Then the men and the animals were covered with hideous sores which made them sick and unable to move. That was the sixth plague. Then fire and hailstones struck the trees and plants of Egypt. That was the seventh plague. Then a swarm of locusts overran the land, devouring everything that had been spared by the fire and hailstones. That was the eighth plague. Then for 3 days, the whole country was covered in pitch darkness. The darkness was so thick that it could be touched with the hand, and all were in fear and trembling. That was the ninth plague. Then came the tenth plague. This was the most terrible of all, for every firstborn child amongst the Egyptians, from the children of the servants to the son of Pharaoh himself, died. And the wailing and lamentation that followed was the greatest that had ever been heard. Stricken with fear, Pharaoh freed the children of Israel. They numbered 600,000. and Moses led them away. But soon, Pharaoh's heart began to harden as he thought of the loss of so many slaves. And he said,
"Why did we allow the children of Israel to go, thus losing their services?"
Pharaoh gave orders for all his chariots to be got ready, and at the head of his army he went in pursuit of the Israelites. He caught up with them at Pi Hahiroth on the shores of the Red Sea. The Hebrews began to lament the fate that they thought was in store for them. Thereupon, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the waves parted, allowing the children of Israel to cross over. Pharaoh and his army tried to follow them, but the waves closed in upon them, swallowing up the whole army, and not a man was saved. For 40 years, the children of Israel strayed in the desert, feeding on the manna that God had sent down to them from heaven. One morning, there was a sound of thunder and lightning flashed from the summit of Mount Sinai. Moses realized that God wanted to speak to him. So he climbed the sacred mountain and heard the voice of the Lord, from whom he received the Ten Commandments. Seeing that Moses was a long time in coming down, the people said to Aaron,
"Make us an idol that we can carry in front of us, for we do not know what has happened to Moses."
And Aaron replied,
"Take off the golden rings that hang from your ears and bring them to me."
With this gold, the children of Israel made a calf, and they aroused God's anger by offering burnt sacrifices to the idol. When Moses came down from the mountain, he found the people dancing round the golden calf. Moses smashed the calf, and 3,000 of the idol worshippers were slain. Having thus appeased his anger, Moses constructed the Ark of the Covenant, and the tables of the law were put into it. The Hebrews began their journey to the land of Canaan again. And one day, when they were short of water, God ordered,
"Moses, strike the rock with your rod, and water will spring forth from it."
Moses hesitated. So God said to him,
"To punish you for your lack of faith, you will see the promised land, but you will never enter into it."
At last, the people of Israel reached the banks of the Jordan. For a long time, Moses gazed at the land of Canaan, but as he was never to be allowed to enter into it, he went up into the mountain and died soon afterwards. God had chosen Joshua to succeed Moses, and he said to Joshua,
"Take my people across the Jordan, for it is you who will put them into possession of the land that I promised their fathers to give them."
They crossed the river Jordan and camped at Galgala near Jericho. The inhabitants of Jericho were terrified when they heard that God had given the land of Canaan to the Israelites, and they barricaded the gates of the city and fortified the walls. Then God said to Joshua,
"Tell the sons of Israel to walk round the city of Jericho for 6 days, carrying the Ark of the Covenant with them. On the seventh day, the priests will blow the trumpets, the people will give a great shout, and the walls of the city will fall down."
And thus it was. The Israelites took Jericho and a great number of other towns. But when Joshua had died, they forgot God's law once again and fell under the influence of the Philistines. Then, in their distress, they implored God's mercy. But God replied,
"When you cried out to me, I delivered you from your enemies. But now that you have abandoned me to serve other gods, I will save you no longer."
Then the Lord abandoned them, and for 40 years the Israelites labored under the yoke of the Philistines. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to the wife of Manoah and said to her,
"You will conceive a son. The hair of his head must never be cut, for he is consecrated to God. And it is he that will begin to deliver Israel from the hands of the Philistines."
Manoah's son was given the name of Samson. His strength was such that no man could equal it. One day, when he was going to Timnath with his parents, he met a lion which came at him, roaring. Seized with the spirit of the Lord, Samson took hold of the lion and tore it to pieces with his hands as if it had been a little goat. Samson married the daughter of a Philistine, and one evening, surprised at not finding his wife at home, Samson said to his father-in-law,
"Where is my wife?"
"I have given her to your friend. Her sister is much more beautiful. Take her in place of the other."
In a great rage, Samson replied,
"This time, if I do harm to the Philistines, they will not be able to reproach me."
He caught 300 foxes, tied them in pairs by their tails, fixed burning torches between them all, and loosed them in the fields of the Philistines. Thus all their corn was burnt. Fearing the vengeance of their persecutors, the Israelites bound Samson with ropes and delivered him to his enemies. But Samson broke the bonds, took the jawbone of an ass, and killed 1,000 Philistines. The others swore to kill him. One day, when Samson was in Gaza, a spy came to the Philistines, saying,
"Samson has come into our city. Let us close the gates and arrange ambushes. When the sun comes up, we'll kill this man."
But Samson learned of their plan. He got up in the middle of the night, broke off the gates of the city, and took them up to the top of the neighboring mountain. Sometime afterwards, a woman of Sorek, whose name was Delilah, and was very beautiful, seduced Samson by her charm. The Philistines went to Delilah and said,
"Find out from Samson what is the secret of his great strength, so that we can take him. If you can find out this secret, every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver."
"I will deliver Samson to you, and I shall be rich."
Samson allowed himself to be enticed by Delilah's honeyed words, and he revealed his secret to her.
"My hair has never been cut, for if it were to be cut, all my strength would go."
When Samson was asleep, Delilah cut off his hair and then sent for the Philistines, who immediately sent soldiers who took Samson, burnt out his eyes, and bound him with chains. Then he was made to turn the mill wheel in the prison day after day. But gradually, his hair grew again. One day, the Philistines offered a great sacrifice to their god to celebrate Samson's capture. And whilst all the rejoicing was going on, one of their princes said,
"Since Samson is in our power, let him be brought here. He will entertain us."
Samson was brought out of the prison and made to dance before all the people. After a time, Samson said to a young man who was leading him by the hand,
"I'm tired. Let me lean against the pillars which hold the temple up."
In the temple, there were more than 3,000 Philistines watching Samson dance. Then Samson called upon the Lord.
"Lord, give me strength so that I may have vengeance on the Philistines who burnt out my eyes."
God heard Samson's prayer, and Samson found all his strength again. So he pushed against the pillars, shouting out at the same time,
"Let me die with the Philistines!"
And he pushed with such strength that the pillars broke and the temple came crashing down with a terrible noise, killing all who were in it. Samson died with his enemies. Thus were the Philistines punished, and God granted his pardon to Samson, who had sacrificed his life to make recompense for his faults.